Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we covered the first eight verses last week. If you remember last week, Jesus was told a parable about prayer. It was a parable about the unjust judge and the widow. The widow had just kept coming back to this unjust judge persistently with the request that he would protect her from her enemies. And the Bible says for a while, he ignored her. The Bible describes this judge as somebody that did not fear God nor regard man. So he didn't care what God thought about him. He didn't care what other people thought about him. And this widow kept coming back and coming back, and he just ignored her. And the Bible uses the words for a while. But at some point, her coming back got to him, and he said, I don't fear God. I don't fear man. But I'm going to help her. I'm going to hear her case. I'm going to protect her from her enemies because I just want her to stop bothering me. I just want her to stop coming back and bugging me about this. And here's the point that Jesus was making with that parable. He said, now just think, if an unjust judge, a judge who does not have no regard for God and no regard for man, for any other man, if an unjust judge will do that, just think what our Heavenly Father, who loves us and cares about us, will do for us if we call on Him. And so he was teaching persistence in prayer. He was teaching that we need to be long-suffering, patient in our prayers, and keep coming back and coming back and coming back. Now, the next part of the chapter, verses 9 through 14, is another parable that Jesus told about prayer. And you might know this parable as the parable of the publican and the Pharisee, about two men who went into the temple to pray. Now, there's some Bible scholars that think that Luke just placed this story here because it was just another lesson about prayer, that Jesus didn't really tell it immediately after he told the story of the unjust judge and the widow, that it was told another time, and Luke just put it here in his book because he wanted to keep the lessons on prayer together. I personally don't agree with them. I think the fact that Jesus had been talking all along to Pharisees, he started in chapter 17, verse 20, and these parables were told to Pharisees. And this parable about the Pharisee and the publican is a parable directed especially to the Pharisees. And the fact that verse 9 says, "And he spake," just sort of indicates to me that he told the story of the unjust judge and the widow and then launched into the story of the publican and the Pharisee. So we start in verse 9 tonight, where the Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So this parable was spoken to the Pharisees. They were the ones who thought that they were righteous in themselves. And again, the Pharisees were a group of religious leaders in that day who kept strict adherence to the law. Paul was a Pharisee before he got saved. Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee before he met the Lord and became the Apostle Paul. And they kept the law to the letter. They kept the law, sometimes not to the spirit, but they kept it to the letter. They ensured that they did nothing to break the law. And they thought by keeping that law, that's what made them righteous. They thought by just, by living exactly by the law, that made them right with God. And anybody that didn't keep the law like they did, they looked down on. That verse uses the word despised. They despised others that weren't as righteous as them in their minds. Okay? So, Jesus is going to tell the story about these two men. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. So, we've talked about what a Pharisee is. Now, let me remind you that a publican was a Jew who collected taxes for the Romans. They were one of the despised ones, okay? And so you have, from a Jewish standpoint, the two ends of the spectrum, so to speak, as to righteousness and unrighteousness. Now, not in God's eyes, but in the Pharisees' eyes. He had the Pharisee at the top of the ladder, so to speak, who thought he was good because he kept the law. And you had the publican, who all the other Jews hated because they thought they were traitors. Most of them were crooked. Most of them were dishonest. And so Jesus said, two men went to the temple to pray. Now, the Jews prayed three times a day. They prayed at 9 o'clock in the morning. They prayed at noontime. They prayed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They could pray anywhere, but their thought was that if they went to the temple to pray, their prayers would be more effective. It would be easier for them to get through to God than it would if they prayed anywhere else. Now, I think you can pray anywhere. I think God will listen to you anywhere. It's good that we can come to this place and pray together. Corporately, we come together and pray individually in this place. And by the way, if you ever just want to come and spend some time at the church praying, you just let me know and we'll get the doors open for you. This is a good place to pray. But I believe God hears our prayers anywhere. But and again, remember, a parable was something that Jesus, a story that Jesus told about something that was familiar. And because the Jews went to the temple three times a day, him telling the story of two men who went to the temple to pray was a common, everyday kind of occurrence. Okay? So it was something that everybody was familiar with. And again, he identified the two men, one as a Pharisee, one as a publican. All right, look at verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Pretty good start. That I am not as other men are. A bad finish. That I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. They perhaps walked into the temple close to each other. Probably not right side by side because Pharisee probably wouldn't walk with the publican. But the Pharisee probably saw the publican come into the temple about the same time he did. And so when that verse says stood, that means he stood in a prominent place so that everybody could see him. He didn't hide in the shadows of the church. He came right up close to the front, sort of in the center, so that he could sort of be in the spotlight as he prayed. And that word prayed means he kept praying. I mean, he kept, you know, praying all the time that he was there. But notice what it says in verse 11. He prayed thus with himself. Now, with himself means face to face with himself. He didn't really pray to God. He was sort of talking to himself in the presence of God. He addressed God. He said, God, I thank thee. But after that, all that came was not asking God for something, was not asking God to take care of somebody else, was not asking God to meet a need. What came after was a recitation of his goodness, a recitation of how good he was and how bad other people were. Again, he made sure he was at a point where he could be seen because Pharisees liked to be seen as they carried out their religious responsibilities, praying and giving of alms. They did it for people to see. And you could just picture in this guy's mind, he probably thought, well, God's really fortunate for somebody like me to come and pray. God's really lucky that I'm here today. Now, the only good part of his prayer was that first phrase, God, I thank thee. But even after that, it was selfish and proudful thanksgiving. I thank thee that I am not as other men. And the only sins that he recited were for sure the ones that he did not commit. But he says, I thank you that I don't extort people. I thank you that I am just. I thank you that I am faithful in my marriage vows. And what he was saying is, I'm thankful that I'm so good. Now, I read, as I was studying, there was a Jewish rabbi that made a comment. He said, let me tell you how to describe a Pharisee. A Pharisee is a person that thinks if there's only two people on the whole earth that are good, it would be him and his son. And if there was only one person that was good on the whole earth, it would be him. That's the way this Pharisee felt. Hey, I'm so good. I keep all the law. God is pleased and glad that I am here. Now, in this prayer, as he's reciting these sins that he did not commit, he pointed out to one man. He says, I'm grateful that I'm not like other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican, this guy that came in with me. I'm glad I'm not like him. Now, again, because publicans were tax collectors for the Romans, some of them did extort money. They collected more than they were supposed to collect. Some of them were indeed unjust, okay, in their carrying out their duties. And this guy could have very well been an adulterer, and the Pharisee's prayer implies, hey, I'm glad I'm not like other guys, like this guy is, which sort of implies that he was accusing him of all three of the sins that he had mentioned. And then in verse 12, he goes on. He says, I fast twice in the week. Again, he's pointing out to God how good he is. I fast twice a week. Now, the Jews were only required absolutely to fast one time a year. They were required to fast on the Day of Atonement. But those who wished to obtain special favor fasted on Mondays and Thursdays. Now, they fasted on Mondays and Thursdays because back then, Mondays and Thursdays were market days. And so there would be a market would be set up in Jerusalem. There would be lots of people in the city because they came to shop. And the Pharisees that fasted, they did it on Monday and Thursday. And when they fasted, they didn't do it in secret like God tells us to. They whitened their face and they wore old clothes so that everybody that saw them knew they were fasting. Again, they weren't doing it to please God. They weren't doing it to show God how serious they were about something. They were doing it for the praise of men. And so they dressed up, say, hey, look at me, I'm fasting. And they came to the, and they fasted on Monday and Thursdays, the days that most people, more people, would see them. Then he says, I give tithes of all that I possess. The law required the tithe of all the produce. This Pharisee tithed even the small garden herbs that he got from his garden. So he did more than the law required. And if you look at the Greek in verse 12, basically he's saying, I fast all that I get. I tithe all that I get. All that I get, I give a tithe off of that. So, again, he's telling God how good he is. He said, I'm not like these other people. I don't commit all these sins. And I fast twice a week, and I tithe off of everything I get. So again, he was telling God, look at how good I am. Look at how great I am. Look at how righteous I am. Look at how just I am. Now look at verse 13 and see the contrast. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now the word standing in verse 13 is different form of a verb than the word stood in verse 11. Stood denotes being in a place of prominence. So again, the Pharisee was right up front, in the center, so everybody could see him. The word standing in verse 13 implies being in an almost hidden place, an unnoticeable place, a place that would not draw attention to yourself, sort of in the shadows, over by the post, over by the wall, where, you know, it would be hard for anybody to see you. It says he stood afar off, not afar off from the temple, afar off from the Pharisee. Okay? Again, perhaps they'd come in about the same time. And this publican didn't think that he was worthy to stand next to somebody that was so righteous. And I'm sure the Pharisee didn't want him standing by him anyway. So he was glad that the publican stood afar off. They were probably both in the court of Israel, where most of the Jews went to pray. Again, the Pharisee probably went up right up front. The publican probably stopped right by the door, just getting in, so to speak. The Bible says he didn't feel worthy to even lift his eyes toward heaven. So he had his head bowed. And in his sense of grief for his sin, he kept on smiting his breast, hitting his breast, and he kept on crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. no word. He offers no word about any virtue that he might have in his life. The Pharisee confessed other men's sins. This publican confessed his own. He didn't point to anybody else. He pointed to himself. Be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee thought everybody else was sinners, and he was righteous. The publican thought, hey, I know I'm a sinner. I'm not worried about anybody else. I'm not looking at anybody else. I'm looking at myself. I know I'm a sinner. The Pharisee compared his life with other people. He said, thank God I'm not like them. The publican compared his life to the holiness and righteousness of God. As, by the way, that's what the Bible tells us to do. If we compare our lives to other people, we can always find somebody a worse sinner than we are. But that's not what God instructs us to do. He said, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know you're a sinner? Don't compare yourself to other people. Again, you can always find somebody a worse sinner than you are. I can, you can, we all can. But when we compare ourselves to Jesus, there is no better. There is no better standard. And you want to know you're a sinner, you compare yourself to Christ. The Pharisee was too proud to pray. The only thing that he wanted to do was remind God of how good he was and that God should reward him. The publican was so convicted of his sin, but he couldn't help but pray. Not for a reward, but mercy. The Pharisee said, hey, if God is just, then he'll reward me. The publican said, if God is just, he'd send me to hell. I'm praying for mercy. I'm praying for mercy. Now, in verse 14, Jesus took note of what was going on. Again, he was telling a story. I don't think it was an actual occurrence. I think it was a story of a common day occurrence that probably, you know, happened. But I don't think he could look in the temple and said, hey, you see those two men? Let me tell you about them. I don't think he did that. But he took note of the attitudes of these two men. And here's what he said in verse 14. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So Jesus said, hey, I've told you about these two men. You've heard, I told you what they have prayed. Now let me tell you what God did. God justified the publican. He prayed for mercy. He got forgiveness. The Pharisee prayed for himself. And I like this same Jewish rabbi. He said, you know, if Titus hadn't tore down the temple, destroyed the temple, that Pharisee's prayer would still be rattling around in the walls. It never made its way to the throne of grace. Never, God never heard what that Pharisee said about himself. Now, again, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. Okay? He was making a point. He said, if you come before God and all you do is recite how good you are and how righteous you are and how God owes you because of all the good things that you have done, you're not going to get his forgiveness. Didn't ask for it. Don't know that. You don't even know you need it. But this publican who came in wouldn't dare to lift his eyes toward heaven, but knew he was a sinner and kept calling out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God was merciful. God forgave him. God justified him, made him as if he'd never sinned in the sight of God. One of the greatest Christians that ever lived, the Apostle Paul, wrote this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. Let's never forget, none of us, that's all we are. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. And if we start spouting off our righteousness, if we start spouting off our goodness, I hope God reminds us real quick what an unrighteous, unholy, filthy person we were before we met Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how can you say that about me? I'm a good guy. Well, let me ask you, how do you compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we compare ourselves? I ask myself that question. Anytime I get to thinking, I got to tell you, we had our best February in attendance. We set a record in giving for the month of February. You know, sometimes a preacher can look at those two things and say, oh, man, here's what I say. I'm sure glad God blesses us. It's nothing. I know it's not me. I can't do nothing. It's all him. It's all him. And I'm so glad that God let me be a part of this place. Let me be a part of this body of believers. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I ask for God's mercy every day. I need his forgiveness every day. So do all of us. And that's what Jesus was trying to remind us of. He said, you're good, but you're not good because of you. You're good because of what Jesus Christ did. You're dressed in his righteousness. When I see you, I don't see your sins. I see you dressed in the righteousness of Christ. Thank God for what we have in Jesus Christ. So, two good lessons on prayer. When you come, come as a sinner, saved by grace. And when you come, be persistent. Don't give up. Keep coming back and coming back. And a heavenly Father who loves us so much will surely do much more than that unjust judge did for that widow. Glad you were here tonight. Men will be praying. Ladies will be praying. If you'd like to join them, you can in their respective rooms. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.